after shootings like this one. They seem to believe that lawmakers will respond to mass shootings by making it harder to buy a gun. After all, when other consumer products are found to be a danger to humans, they are regulated. Last year, the federal government recalled 40,000 units from a line of children's bunk beds whose defective ladder killed a 2-year-old in Ohio. And the U.S. Public Interest Research Group offers a lengthy list of toys the U.S. government has recalled because of choking hazards. It makes sense to regulate harmful products, especially where children's health and safety are concerned. But thousands of children are victims of gun violence each year, yet weapons of war remain easily available for purchase. The Ovald Shooter bought two AR-15-style rifles legally from a federally licensed gun store just days before the massacre and used one of them to end 21 lives. After Ovald, a group of pediatricians published a plea for gun control in Scientific American. The doctors pointed out that gun violence is now the leading cause of death among people aged 1 to 19. The politicization of guns, they wrote, is taking priority over public health. How else to explain the endless proliferation of killing machines when we won't even tolerate a faulty ladder? Many factors drive this politicization. For one thing, gun sales are big business. Some manufacturers with federal contracts even use their profits to lobby against gun control. For another, the National Rifle Association holds great sway in Washington and drives large campaign donations to GOP politicians to ensure inaction. But at heart, this is a cultural problem. Hollywood, for example, glamorizes guns the way it once did smoking. Researchers Brad Bushman and Dan Romer found that acts of gun violence in PG-13 movies nearly tripled between 1985 and 2015. But even more dangerously, guns have become central to the right-wing's culture wars. They have become synonymous with a perverse understanding of freedom and defense. A word that appears in the name of the manufacturer Daniel Defense, whose rifle was used to kill children in Ovald. Defense for whom? Violent crime and property crime rates nationwide have dramatically fallen since 1990s. Studies show that guns are extremely rarely used in self-defense. They are much more often involved in assaults, homicides, suicides, or accidental discharges. This is a charade, says Tufts public health professor Michael Siegel of the self-defense troop. Instead, the freedom to defend oneself has become a powerful cultural idea for a shrinking white population whose paranoia is being stoked incessantly by Fox News, the Republican Party, and gun manufacturers. In one commercial, Daniel Defense founder Marty Daniel narrates, "There are two types of people in the world, good people and evil people. And just in case evil people get in charge, good people need to have the ability to fight back." Siegel says this is a racialized fear. The far-right's mostly white male gun owners are so convinced of this imagined threat from evil others that some openly speculated that Ovald shooter must have been an illegal alien or a woman. He was neither. A majority of Americans support gun restrictions, but the GOP gerrymanders, districts, and relies on the undemocratic Senate and Supreme Court to keep this paranoid minority in power. and as a result, their hate-filled fantasies have made it all but impossible to regulate the leading cause of children's death. Eventually, the pro-gun control majority must ask, how long will we pay for this system with the lives of our children?
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are presently trying to gain inspiration from the 16th sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he talks about the governance program for his community, for the Islamic community. And in the beginning of this sermon, he talks about some very important things, and one of them is the issue of piety, where he says that a person who takes lessons from the past will realize that piety is something that is going to stop him from making mistakes, will stop him from entering into doubtful scenarios, is going to stop him from entering into wrong areas. So here, piety is a very important thing, and is being emphasized by Imam Ali alayhi salam very strongly in this sermon. So now the very important thing that comes in our minds is, what is piety? What is taqwa? So normally what people feel when they think about a pious person, they feel a pious person is one who sits in a corner and he prays and he remembers God, or he always has a rosary in his hands, always is reciting some form of remembrance of God. But this is a very limited understanding of piety, and inshallah we shall discuss about the in-depth understanding of who a pious person is according to the Quran and the riwayat, inshallah.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We are discussing about what is piety in Islam, because we talked about the fact that piety, according to, if we look at history and we look, try to understand the events that took place in the past, we will realize that piety is that thing that stops people from entering into doubtful and shady areas and areas of confusion. Rather, it will put a person on the right track. And we say that piety cannot mean just performing zikr or remembrance of God just in a simple manner, or just praying full time or fasting, because these will not give you the tools to be able to analyze history in a way that is going to stop you from making mistakes. These are not those things that will stop you from making errors. Yes, to a certain degree, they will give you a state of spirituality, but are they the only and the main cause for you to stay away from evil? It is not very clear. This is not the actual reasoning, because you've seen people who used to pray, who used to fast, but they were not able to stop themselves from entering into areas of darkness. That doesn't mean that these things don't have a role in guidance. They have a very important role in guidance, but is it the main cause or is it the complete cause? That's not the case. Inshallah, we'll discuss about what are those main causes. And that will, the main cause will only be understood when we understand what is the actual meaning of piety. So what is piety? We can understand piety in two ways. And both ways are like two dimensions, or two, you can say, sides of one coin, and which is piety. And these two dimensions, they actually lead to one effect, one powerful effect. So the first one that I'm going to talk about, the first dimension of piety, is that one where a person is careful, is sensitive, and he is very, very accurate in what he is doing. Accuracy, sensitivity, and carefulness. These are the main aspects of the first dimension of piety.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the meaning of piety, and we said that piety doesn't mean just sitting in a corner and praying and fasting and holding a rosary, which are good things in their own selves, but you need a deeper understanding. And that deeper understanding is that piety has got two meanings, rather, or there are two dimensions of one reality that I'm going to speak about. The one dimension is the issue of being careful, being sensitive, being accurate in what you do. In fact, in the narrations, we have this same meaning told to us. For example, in one of the narrations from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, when he was asked, what is piety? Then he replied with an example. He says that, have you ever been in a desert which is full of thorns and shrubs while wearing the long Arabian cloth, you know, the dashdashe that the Arabs used to wear? Sometimes it would, of course, it would be a long cloth that goes to till the feet, that covers you from top and goes towards the feet. And if you are wearing such a cloth and you enter the desert which has shrubs and thorns, then definitely those shrubs and thorns will get stuck to your cloth, and they will enter your feet. So you need to be very careful. So he tells the person, have you ever been to the desert with such a cloth, walking past those shrubs and thorns? He says, yes, I've been there. So when you go there, how do you walk? You are absolutely careful. You are absolutely sensitive about everything that is there on that road, so that the thorns don't get stuck to your feet, nor do the shrubs get stuck to your cloth and tear them apart. Because if you walk without care, just looking above and whistling and maybe talking to your friends, then by the end of your journey, you probably wouldn't have a cloth near your feet, because it will be torn into pieces, and that would be a very serious issue for you probably. So, and maybe your legs will be full of thorns. So you'd be very careful. And this is the first dimension of piety, which is care, sensitiveness, and having that sense of accuracy. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the opportunity to attain piety. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners from all around the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another edition from series of Q&A on Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, if you have been following such shows, we are trying to answer some doubts and misconceptions on the Islamic beliefs with presence of Islamic scholars from Qom Seminary students. We have today invited Sheikh Nur Muhammad from Qom Seminary School, an Islamic researcher, to answer the questions of ours in this very session. Sheikhana, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure for us, Sheikh, to have you here. And the question of the day is about our reaction as Muslim to some mob politics, or let's say al-mushrikeen. In case we refer to the Holy Quran in the chapter of At-Tawbah, verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَنْسَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَخُذُوهُمْ وَحْصُرُوهُمْ وَقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ فَإِنْ تَابُوا أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Dear Sheikh, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His holy book, Al-Quran, very clearly and vividly tells us that in case you have found the mushrikeen and polytheists, kill them. What is the reason for this order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us to do? That is, whenever you see them, kill them, and وَحْصُرُوهُمْ وَقْعُدُهُمْ, that is, keep them and limit them. So what is the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do so? Is it our duty to do the same whenever we see a non-Muslim, or let's say a mushrik, an infidel, a polytheist? Or no, it has been revealed for some certain cases. So I think it requires to look at the interpretation of the Holy Quran or commentaries of Quran, right?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, very valid question, and I can say the widespread question, and many people ask such a question, and you know, unfortunately, we have some people, the ignorance of the verse of Noble Quran, and they do not have complete study of this beautiful sacred verse of Noble Quran. And because of that, it caused a lot of confusion among people. You see that, I would like to invite my dear listeners, my dear audience, my dear brothers and sisters, to have kind of thorough, a study of the verse of Noble Quran, and to have the, you know, to complete the study about the verses of Noble Quran, and not to pick out one verse and try to understand it, or rather implement those verses.
Yeah.
You know, it is granted for those people who are familiar with the verses of Noble Quran and Quranic sciences, or you may translate it to Quranic knowledge, or Quranic study, it is very obvious that before, you know, everything, it is necessary for person who want to understand the verse of Noble Quran to have the thorough study of verse of Noble Quran, and not to pick single verse and try to understand that, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to study of the verse of Noble Quran. It is very important.
Yeah.
Not only in the verse of Noble Quran, rather to the narrations of Ahlul Bayt.
Mm-hmm.
You know that talking about this verse of the chapter Tawbah, if you have the go to other verses, I mean the, you know, verses revealed after this verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 9 said that اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا فصدوا عن سبيله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون. Those people, they have sold the signs of Allah for, you know, a little gain, and barred people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, and it is a worse action that they were doing. You see that, first of all, he said that اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا فصدوا عن سبيل الله. They barred people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, first of all, we understand from this verse of the Noble Quran, which is after verse 5, I mean, verses after this verse that we are talking about.
Yeah.
These people, they sold the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and barred from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are not simple, let's say, ordinary polytheists.
Mm-hmm.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about some group of people, they have these characteristics. Okay, and then he said, "لا يرقبون في مؤمن إلا ولا دمة وأولئك هم المعتدون." This is verse number 10. They observe toward believers neither kinship nor covenant.
Yeah.
So, and then he said that ألا تقاتلون. This is verse number 13. ألا تقاتلون قوما نكثوا أيمانهم وهموا بإخراج الرسول وهم بدأوكم أول مرة. Will you not make war on people who broke their pledges and resolve to expel the apostle and open hostility against you initially? Very clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I'm talking about some polytheists who started hostility and war towards you, Muslim, initially. وَهُمْ بَدَأُوكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ.
So it's not addressing any kind of polytheists or infidels.
It's not addressing. It doesn't mean that you should go to find out a polytheist and to kill that individual. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about some groups, they initiated war against Muslims, and they do not care about any covenant or any kinship, okay?
Yeah.
And they barred from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the very, you know, a special group that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about.
Very true.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So it has its own condition. It's not every, let's say, politics and infidel that we it might come to our mind. So
exactly.
It has some certain, those who have started or established a war against us and those who are not following any covenant or any treaty between Muslims and themselves.
I want to say that at least in this verses of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to talk about a defensive war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And of course, everybody, every individual, they believe in defending your right, your territory. Okay?
And it's quite rational and logical. In case you are attacked, you need to defend yourself.
Yes.
And for sure, as you rightly mentioned, it is for the as a defensive means rather than a primary, let's say, aggression over a person.
Yes, exactly. And according to one understanding of Shia scholar, we have the, you know, defensive war. We do not have initiative war. You cannot initiate any war against any people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, of course, I do not want to go to the jurisprudential aspect of that. According to the, you know, some other scholar who believe in initiative war or jihad al-ibtida'i, it has its own explanation. Mm-hmm. But very briefly, what does it mean to initiate war against the, you know, polytheist people? It means that to remove the impediments from the understanding of people and to give freedom to people.
Very okay? true.
And to give kind of freedom for people to choose Islam or, for example, any other religion.
La ikraha fi al-deen.
Exactly. We cannot impose any religion to people. Rather, we want to, you know, remove the ways, remove the impediments from the freedom of people and to give them total freedom to choose.
Very true.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that qatilu a'immat al-kufr, to fight with the leaders of the polytheism and unbelief, it showed and indicated that just we want to remove the, you know, barriers from the way of the freedom of people and to give them total freedom and absolute freedom to choose.
Very true.
But unfortunately, some people prevent people from choosing and they prevent them from freedom.
Exactly.
So, of course, I do not want to go to the detail of the Islamic laws, but even according to those scholars who believe in the initiative war, it means that, first of all, it has some conditions. For example, in the time of the infallible person, it is not in the time of other people, I mean, in the time of the occultation, you know, according to some scholar. But some other scholars believe that it could be even in the time of the occultation by the permission of the, you know, Islamic jurists, qualified Islamic jurists. But the main condition of that, as I mentioned, is for the removal of the, you know,
impediments.
Yeah, impediments of the freedom of the choice of people.
Thank you very much. So even, as you rightly mentioned, even the initiative or primary war has its own condition that it cannot easily happen. And in case, even if we accept that it is widely accepted by Muslim scholars, right?
Exactly, yes.
Even in the case of defensive, this is a certain or less a logical right of a person to defend himself or herself. So we need to say that in this very verse, that is verse 5 of chapter At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to kill any polytheist. Just those who have established a war against us and they are not keeping any covenant and promise. And in that case, so we have our own right to actually fight them back. So this is certainly a fighting back, not starting a fight or killing without any reason.
Exactly, yes. Of course, any, you know, war in, you know, in Islam has its own condition, even for the, you know, different wars, you know, let's say defensive war or initiative war, we have a lot of conditions attached to that. As I mentioned, the presence of the infallible person, it is, according to many and majority of scholars, it is one of the, you know, condition attached to that. Or many other condition to, first of all, for example, explain to people about the Islamic laws. But after all, the philosophy of war in Islam is to, as I said, to remove the impediments.
Very true.
Of the freedom of choice of people. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after all, we have this idea and Vedic mind Shia scholars that all wars in Islam are defensive, not initiative wars.
Ahsan, Ibn al-Sheikh, thank you very much for your scholarly and quite informative explanation, Shaykhana. All in all, as I summarized earlier, we have understood that killing the infidels or polytheists is not something quite absolute, but it has some, it's unconditioned. That is, in case that we are fought and we are trying to defend ourselves and those who are not keeping any covenant and they are actually trying to initiate a war against us. So we need to defend ourselves, and this verse of the Holy Quran refers to that case. Definitely, it requires to have a good knowledge of understanding the tafsir and commentary and interpretation of the Holy Quran, and with an overall look at the other verses of the Holy Quran, even very easily in the same chapter of the Holy Quran, in the chapter of Al-Tawbah, as the respected guest, the speaker of the show, looked at some of those verses to prove the case and the bringing a strong evidence. Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for accompanying us, and you respected listeners for staying tuned and listening to Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. Till our next session, I'll leave in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي حسين وحسن
In the limelight.
From its origins in 2002, SpaceX has always been extremely close to the national security state, particularly the CIA. Yet Musk himself continues to benefit from a general perception that he is not part of the system. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Alan McLeod, journalist. This article is published under the heading Elon Musk is not a renegade outsider. He is a massive Pentagon contractor. Stay tuned for more. Elon Musk's proposed takeover of Twitter has ruffled many feathers among professional commentators. Musk is the wrong leader for Twitter's vital mission, read one Bloomberg headline. The network also insisted, nothing in the Tesla CEO's track record suggests he will be a careful steward of an important media property. Elon Musk is the last person who should take over Twitter, wrote Max Boot in the Washington Post, explaining that the seems to believe that on social media anything goes. For democracy to survive, we need more content moderation, not less, unquote. The irony of outlets owned by Michael Bloomberg and Jeff Bezos warning of the dangers of permitting a billionaire oligarch to control U.S. media was barely commented upon. Added to this, a host of celebrities publicly left the social media platform in protest against the proposed $44 billion purchase. This only seemed to confirm to many free speech-minded individuals That South African billionaire was a renegade outsider on a mission to save the internet from authoritarian elite control. Despite the fact that he is borrowing money from the governments of Qatar and Saudi Arabia in order to do so. Musk has deliberately cultivated this image of himself. A real-life Tony Stark figure who thinks for himself and is not part of the established order. But behind this carefully constructed facade, Musk is intimately connected to the U.S. national security state, serving as one of its most important business partners. Elon, in short, is no threat to the powerful, entrenched elite. He is one of them. Musk, whose estimated $230 billion fortune is more than twice the gross domestic product of Ukraine, has garnered a great deal of positive publicity for donating thousands of Starlink terminals to the country, helping its people come back online after fighting down the internet in much of the country. Starlink is an internet service allowing those with terminals to connect to one of over 2,400 small satellites in low Earth orbit. Many of these satellites were launched by Musk's SpaceX Technologies company. However, it soon transpired that there is far more than meets the eye with Musk's extraordinary donation. In fact, the U.S. regime quietly paid SpaceX top dollar to send their inventory to the war zone. USA, the government anti-insurgency agency that has regularly functioned as a regime change organization, is known to have put up the cash to purchase and deliver at least 1,330 of the terminals. Starlink is not a mass market solution. Each terminal, which is in effect a tiny portable satellite dish, has a markedly limited range and is useful only in hyper-local situations. Mikhailo Fedorov, Ukraine's Minister of Digital Transformation, estimated that the 10,000 Starlink terminals were allowing around 150,000 people to stay online. Such a small number of people using the devices raises eyebrows. Who is important enough to be given such a device? Surely only high-value individuals such as spies or military operatives. That the Starlinks are serving a military purpose is now beyond clear. Indeed, in a matter of weeks, Starlink has become a cornerstone of the Ukrainian military. One official told the Times of London that he must use a Starlink to target enemy forces via thermal imaging. Thus, in today's world, where so much intelligence gathering and target acquisition is done via satellite technology, SpaceX has become every bit as important to the U.S. war machine as more well-known companies like Lockheed Martin and Boeing. Without Musk's company, the U.S. would not be able to carry out such an invasive program of spying and drone warfare around the world. Yet Musk himself continues to benefit from a general perception that he is not part of the system. From its origins in 2002, SpaceX has always been extremely close to the national security state, particularly the CIA. Perhaps the most crucial link is Mike Griffin, who, at the time, was the president and COO of an InQtel, a CIA-funded venture capital firm that seeks to nurture and sponsor new companies that will work with the CIA and other security services, equipping them with cutting-edge technology. The Q in its name is reference to Q from James Bond series, a creative inventor who supplies the spy with the latest in futuristic tech. In addition to the billions in government contracts mosques companies have secured, they also have received similar numbers in public subsidies and incentives. Chief among these is Tesla, which benefits greatly from complex international rules around electric vehicle production. In a push to reduce carbon emissions, governments around the world have introduced a system of credits for green vehicles, whereby a certain percentage of each manufacturer's output must be zero-emission vehicles. Tesla only produces electric cars, so easily meets the mark. However, the system also allows Tesla to sell their excess credits to manufacturers who cannot meet these quotas. In a competitive market where each manufacturer needs to hit certain targets, these credits are worth their weight in gold and net Tesla billions in profit every year. For example, between 2019 and 2021 alone, Stellantis, which owns the Chrysler, Fiat, Citroën, and Peugeot brands, forked out nearly $2.5 billion to acquire Tesla US and European green credits. Perhaps more seriously, though, SpaceX's close proximity to both the U.S. military and the U.S. national security state marks it out as a key cog in the mission of U.S. empire, allowing Washington to spy, bomb, or coup whoever it wants. It is for this reason that so much of the hysteria, both positive and negative, over Musk's ongoing purchase of Twitter is misplaced. Elon Musk is neither going to save nor destroy Twitter because he's not a crusading rebel challenging the establishment. He is an integral part of it.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, sisters and brothers from every nook and cranny of the earth. Wherever you are, I hope you're doing well and everything is just fine with you. This is IRIB English Radio, and here is your favorite realm. Welcome to the cozy corner of Youth Station. A member of this station, your friend Asma, is at your service. And here, on my side, I have my dear friend and my bestie, Zainab.
Assalamu alaikum, Asma.
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm very happy to meet you here, Zainab.
Same here. I am super excited to see you after a very long time.
After such a long time.
Yes. How are you?
Thank you. It's just good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
How are you doing?
Well. Alhamdulillah.
Today we're discussing a very interesting website, which is called Khamenei.ir. For all those who are interested to know more about the Iranian Revolution, about their leader, about the history, and they do not know from where to start, well, this site is going to help you a lot.
I want to surf about Imam, surf about revolution, about Iran, any news, like latest news, old news, any speech, any condolence messages, any kind of like things, you can just go on to this website.
Yes, of course. And also, Zainab, there is a part in that suggestion box that tells you there's a point in which you could find the biography of Imam Khamenei as well.
Yes.
That's also
I have gone through that too.
Yes, I have went through that too. It was very interesting.
Yes.
And I even have some I've selected some parts to read. because they attracted my attention a lot. It was
of
such
course,
a very interesting.
I would want you to share with the audiences.
Yes, of course. For those who have not been through this website, so we give them some triggers just to go through it.
Yes.
So there was this part that I enjoyed reading while I was reading the biography of their leader. It started like this. My father, though a well-known religious figure, was a bit of an ascetic. We had a hard life. Sometimes for supper, we had nothing but bread with some raisin, which was very interesting for me, because people might think and consider that great leaders in the world are privileged people and they have some special facilities.
All the time.
All the time, yes. Yes. But it is not like this in the case of our leader. Well, which our mother had somehow improvised. Our house, some 65 square meters, consisted of a single room and a gloomy basement. When visitors came to see my father as the local cleric or to consult about their problems, the family had to move into the basement while the visit went on. Yes. Years later, some charitable person brought the small empty lot adjacent to our house.
And then they had a three-room flat.
So yeah. their home turned into a bigger place then.
Yes.
So you see, it gives you some very interesting information about the leader mm-hmm. himself. And also there's a section
in the same biography. Uh-huh. What was much more touching to me than this part.
I'm very much eager to know.
Was the one where the leader had two choices.
Yes.
To either visit back Basha to his sick father mm-hmm. or to continue his seminary studies.
Exactly, yes.
Yes.
That was very interesting as well, because his father was getting sick and yeah. he had to come back to
Like when his teachers were like insisting him, you should not leave seminary mm-hmm. at this point of time.
Yes.
Because he had realized his talent and everything, what kind of a prominent student he had been and what kind of hardworking student he had been. Everyone was suggesting Imam not to go
yes,
back.
Yes, not to leave
Imam,
it right here.
Imam chose that thing. Imam Khamenei goes back to Mashhad to see his father.
So before we get into the depth of this website, what do you say about a break?
All right.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
He says a very touching thing, which is very interesting to hear that from a leader. He says, if there have been any success in my life, they all go back to God's blessing favored upon me because of my dutiful caring for parents.
Yes.
So see how touching it is to hear that from a leader.
Yes.
So before coming here and reading this biography, I didn't know all this stuff, though I am living in Iran. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I mean, there are
yes.
some secrets you can't get unless you go through a deep study.
Deep study. And I think the material you'll get through one book, two books, three books, mm-hmm. maybe 100 books, that's all collected in this one.
Exactly,
portal.
That's the point. It's like you know,
because
million books
just,
in a nutshell.
When I even learned Persian, I started reading some personal biography books on Imam. Mm-hmm. But when I compare again, when I come back to this site, I always feel like I'm in need of this website.
Yes, exactly.
To know more about.
And by this website, we are talking about. We mean actually
Khamenei.ir.
You could also visit leader.ir. You could connect with the leader as well. There's a section at the below of each part that gives you the chance to leave your comments or messages.
Wow.
And it was very interesting to read people's comment on each section. It was very interesting. Many people from all around the world, even America or the eastern part of the world, who might have no clue or idea about the leader or the revolution.
You know, Asma.
They've mentioned some very interesting things.
Yes, like people living in the east, people living in the west, mm-hmm. people living in the north, people living in the south.
Exactly.
Everyone is thirsty
that
about
is,
this
it's
knowledge.
It's a very good point you mentioned, Zainab. They are thirsty.
Because I had been thirsty too.
Yes.
I know that. I have felt that. And I started, I went to the the website mm-hmm. with that curiosity, with that thirst.
Exactly.
And this was something that really fulfilled my thirst. And that was Kamenai.ir. And it was not like only the speeches.
Yes,
you
not
had
just the
a
speeches.
Lot of sections. I mean, there's a section in which a picture tells you a complete story.
Exactly.
The caricature pod, the
a
cartoons.
Yes. Those cartoons. Also, I was going to mention that there is a part, as you come to the bottom of the website, there is a part that has, it's in blue on top of it. It's been written, there's been a quotation from Imam Khamenei,
mm-hmm.
which says, "Despite all enmities, good words of Islamic Republic is becoming stronger every day." And then beneath it, we have the part that gives you, again, suggestions about the speeches, full text, news, multimedia, photos, videos, posters. And this part is my favorite part because it was very interesting. It was like it gives you the headline. And through using a caricature, they're giving you the main idea. And beneath that, there is a quotation or a speech from the leader in a very short manner. It is called Artworks. That's also a very interesting section.
Yes. The motion graphics, the artwork, the gallery, the video, the multimedia and everything. Combination of everything.
Has
it's a combination
made it
of
easy for
graphics.
To get
it's a combination.
Everything easily.
Yes, at one place. Mm-hmm. And that too at one place. And what is much more better is that it's available in all the living language. I must say at least.
This is very important. Because
yes.
it is in all the different languages anyone could want to use.
Yes, yes. Because English is something that's internationally mm-hmm. used everywhere. But then there are some very interesting languages like Hindi is only known in India. So,
yes.
So the site is making efforts to even translate the material into some other language that some
Zainab,
one part
also,
of the world gets to know about it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. There was also another interesting part for me. It was about the bookshelf.
All right.
Have you been through that? It was very interesting. It gives you some suggestions upon some very interesting books and the latest books that are getting viral in Iran or in Islamic places.
All right.
Then also in the part of news, we have some interesting headlines. They give you some interesting titles and you will get familiar with the important debates of the day. And also, there are some points on Palestine.
Yes. There's so much about Palestine.
Exactly.
There's so
yes.
much about Palestine. There's so much about resistance on the
exactly.
site.
Exactly. I saw a picture, actually, just as I was going through Palestine. I
All
saw
right.
a picture, which was very heart-touching. It was, and the headline was just like this, "The Heartbreaking Story of Palestine."
All right.
There was a picture of a child with all the bruises on his face and then a tear drop which has been frozen on his cheeks. The kind of posters and images they use in this
yes,
website, they're
yes.
very interesting.
Since we're talking about Palestine, I think when I went last to the site was a poster showing... Yes, and I went out to, I think when I went last to the site was the cartoon portion wherein the latest cartoon was about the Palestine itself from stones
to missiles.
Yeah.
Just as you go through it for some seconds and minutes, you cannot leave it because some interesting points will pop up to you and you would get much of enthusiasm to go and find more and more.
Yes.
We are talking about Khamenei.ir, Khamenei.ir.
I have literally felt like how much this leader has, took Quran into himself, into his soul, how much he feels it. And you feel like you're reading the text of Quran.
Exactly.
And monotheism. Tawheed gets manifested in each and every of his words. So I think that has been the strength behind the revolution. That has been the strength behind the leadership of Iran. That
exactly.
has been the strength behind the revolution
yes.
is monotheism, because they believe, one of the kids asked the supreme leader, why are Western powers afraid of us? And the leader replies, because we are afraid of God.
So also there, just to give you some hints in order to make you more attracted and to go and visit it by your own self, for those who are interested in literature and they think there's no way to connect literature with politics and such a great leader,
yeah.
but there's a shocker for you, because there are also some stuffs related to literature. I was very interested to see that there's something about Tolstoy's War and Peace. The leader has made some comments on that, and also about Sartre, even bringing the name of Sartre and talking about how he's been deceived by the Israel to write about the land which had no people in it.
All right.
So these are very interesting.
Of course these are.
And for those who are not living in Iran and they have no concept of the leader, they actually do not have an image of it. Well, if you go through this website, and also if you have noticed all the pictures and photos about the leader, then you would see there is always a ring in his hand.
Of course.
Those rings have got a story. Actually, these stones are some kind of holy and very valuable stones. Yes.
Yeah.
That's also an interesting part, that everyone is after one of those rings.
Yeah.
And so, in all the documentaries, if the audience happened to be interested in the topic, they might have seen some documentaries upon that, and they see that people are so eager to get some of those rings from the leader.
Of course.
There's plenty of information for you out there. Go and check it.
There's literature, there's graphics.
Everything,
there's
everything
you'll need. There's everything you need to know about the love. The
yeah.
love. Because Imam is love. Love for all those
exactly.
who are thirsty.
And you would learn a lot more about the revolution and the school of thought related
yes.
to the leaders. So also, just to point that at the very end of our discussion, there is a very important point in that website as well, which gives you information about the letters the leader has shared with the Western youth.
Exactly. That was coming into my mind when you said the comment section, that
mm-hmm.
people from all around the world can write letters. I had this thing in my mind that if a leader writes letters to the youth.
It's such a moving thing to hear that a leader with that much of respectability comes to talk with the youth.
Exactly.
And he appoints that, he addresses the Western youth, which is very interesting. He's calling them to notice, to get more information. So that's it.
And everything starts with praising Allah, praising God, and
exactly,
everything ends
yes.
with praising God.
So if you're going to visit this website, make sure you go through those letters as well. You are listening to IRB English Radio. Thank you for visiting Pars today. This was Youth Station. And from my side, Zainab, and the entire cast of Youth Station, I bid you farewell until next episode. Thank you for listening.
Wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
the wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.